ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 11, text 26, 27 and 28. So since 26 and 27 don't have purport, we will read them later on, and now we'll just read text 28. Santushta alolupa daksha dharmagya priya satya vak apramata suchi snigdha patim tu apatitam bhajet santushta lalupa daksha dharmagya priya satyavak apramata suchi stingda patim tvaptinam bhajet santushta lalupa daksha dharmagya priya satyavak apramata suchi stingda patim tva patitam bhajet santushta lalupa daksha dharmagya priya satyavak apramata suchi stingda patim tvapatinam bhajet. Dharmagya priya satyavak anta suchi stingdam tintva patitam bhajet patushta lalupa daksha dharmagya priya satyavak pramata suchi stingdam Tintva pititam bhajet Santushta lalupa daksha Magya Nata suchi stingda Patintva pititam bhajet Santushta lalupa daksha Namasta chisinda patim tva patitam bhajet. Mataji, okay. Santushta always satisfied.
Alolupa,
without being greedy.
Daksha,
very expert in serving.
Dharmagya,
fully conversant with religious principles.
Priya,
pleasing.
Satya,
truthful.
Vak,
in speaking.
Apramata,
attentive in service to her husband.
Suchi,
always clean and pure.
Snigdha,
affectionate.
Patim,
the husband.
Tu,
but.
Apatitam,
who is not fallen.
Bhajat,
should worship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A chaste woman should not be greedy but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs and should be fully conversant with religious principles. She should speak pleasantly and truthfully and should be very careful and always clean and pure. Thus, a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. Purport. According to the injunction of Yajñavalkya, an authority on religious principles, Ashudhe Sampratikshyo Hi Mahapatakadushita. One is considered contaminated by the reactions of great sinful activities when one has not been purified according to the methods of the Dashavida Samskara. In Bhagavad Gita, however, the Lord says, Namam duskritino muda prapadyante naradamaha. Those miscreants who are not surrendered unto me are the lowest of mankind. The word naradama means non-devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Ye bhaje se bada abhaktahina chara. Anyone who is a devotee is sinless. One who is not a devotee, however, is the most fallen and condemned. It is recommended, therefore, that a chaste wife not associate with a fallen husband. A fallen husband is one who is addicted to four principles of sinful activity, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. Specifically, if one is not a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is understood to be contaminated. Thus, a chaste woman is advised not to agree to serve such a husband. It is not that a chaste woman should be like a slave while her husband is Naradama, the lowest of men. Although the duties of a woman are different from those of a man, a chaste woman is not meant to serve a fallen husband. If her husband is fallen, it is recommended that she give up his association. Giving up the association of her husband does not mean, however, that a woman should marry again and thus indulge in prostitution. If a chaste woman unfortunately marries a husband who is fallen, she should live separately from him. Similarly, a husband can separate himself from a woman who is not chaste according to the description of the Shastra. The conclusion is that a husband should be a pure Vaishnava and that a woman should be a chaste wife with all the symptoms described in this regard. Then both of them will be happy and make spiritual progress in Krishna consciousness. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Gadadara Shrisari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we will just read the verses 26 and 27. A chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband, always wearing clean and attractive garments. She should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers, and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses, and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love, according to time and circumstance. Text 28. A chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs and should be fully conversant with religious principles. She should speak pleasantly and truthfully and should be very careful and always clean and pure. Thus, a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. So here we have continuation of the description of various duties in the Varna and Ashram system. So this is something that is the pillar or a foundation of any cultural society, to understand properly position on each and every Varna or Ashrama in that kind of society. So this training starts from an early age. It doesn't just start from the time of the school when somebody may learn something theoretically and then maybe imbibe kind of hopefully later on within his life. No, it starts from the home. Many times we hear that, especially when we go to, let's mention Mayapur, or at least earlier there have been a lot of complaints that Gurukul is, whether in girls' academy or the boys in the Gurukul, they learn so many wonderful principles of the Vedic culture within it. And they maintain somewhat good attitude, behavior, relationships amongst each other and the dealings towards the authorities. But when they go home and spend some time at home, their behavior becomes corrupted. And then again they have a lot of difficulties fitting in within that kind of Varnashram system or the educational Gurukuli program that goes on. So this kind of education is not just the education which is superficial education, but it is education which is meant to form the character. And the best way to form the character is education through practical experience. So if we learn something just theoretically on the excuse of some kind of educational program, and then we are exposed in a practical manner to absolutely different kinds of circumstances, then it's going to be very difficult to benefit or to apply those kind of teachings. Because, like in this case, in Gurukul, the boys, they're not exposed to television, they're not exposed to internet, they're not exposed to any such kind of distracting medias. But when they get exposed, then definitely their minds become very flickering and very feeble. And therefore the whole concept of such kind of a system becomes very, very difficult to sustain. So this is what Vedic culture essentially was all about. It was a very practical application of the cultured society. And therefore when it was practiced at home, then in one sense there was no need to go anywhere else, but the children would learn from their parents. They would learn from the society itself what a cultured society essentially is. So when we talk about this Varnashram system and such kind of education nowadays, we see that it's very difficult, almost practically impossible, to create and to apply, even after we have heard about it so many times. But of course, at least from our vantage point, our advantage is that we have pretty good experience of that kind of non-culture, or so-called Western culture, which is non-culture essentially. And we know that there is no substance within that kind of culture. So at least we have some experience of the Vedic culture, and we have a hope that this kind of culture, when implemented, will yield to the results that it promises. And definitely there is nothing to look forward in that kind of a materialistic environment, because the result, everything can be judged by the result. We see the results. Palena paricciate. We can judge everything by the result. So in this kind of modern day liberal society where everyone is just free to do whatever they want to do, whatever their mind tells them to do, we see what are the unfortunately consequences of it. So from the civilized society point of view, even though sometimes there might be difficulties in applying some kind of principle, especially coming from such kind of untrained background, and we can speak such for India as well, because even nowadays hardly anybody has any kind of training in the Vedic culture. Hardly any, really hardly any. There is practically no difference between India nowadays and the Western world. Hardly any. You see, if anybody, you know, goes into the office and wears a very nice tie and a suit, but doesn't even wash the hands after coming from the bathroom or toilet or whatever it is, you know, it's like, you know, that points out to the level of culture that is going on nowadays. What to speak of many other things. So there is no difference nowadays. So when we try to now, we face a great difficulty establishing such kind of society because people are not accustomed to it. They've practically lost any trace, they've practically lost any connection towards the original traditional Vedic society. So the most essential and vital point of reviving it, it's left upon those who still see some spark within such kind of instructions provided as at least an alternative to a different kind of life. And this is our hope. We hope that people at least will to some degree realize the futility of material lifestyle and then turn towards the lifestyle which is definitely far more constructive, far more substantial, far more beneficial. So only in that sense we can point out how beneficial it is to support and how to cultivate celibacy and chastity. Very two important principles. Nowadays in the West, if anybody hears that somebody is trying to be chaste or trying to become a celibate, it's some kind of object, can become some kind of an object of a ridicule, because people can't understand. They just can't understand, how is that possible? What is the point? They don't even have that information. Every kind of information that is received is just contrary to that, absolutely contrary. Just, you know, be liberal, be free, do whatever whatever you want to do. No bounds, no restrictions, no regulations. Just do whatever you want to do. And yes, everybody is doing whatever they want to do, but we see the consequences. At least an intelligent person should see the consequences of it. Krishna speaks of in Bhagavad Gita, Ragat Vesha Vimuktaistu Vishayana Indriyais Charam. What is that third line? Atma Vasai Videya Atma Prasadam Adigachati. Prasadam Adigachati. Mercy of the Lord. How do we get the mercy of the Lord? If we follow the regulative principles of freedom, These are regulative principles of freedom. Yes, initially maybe it might sound difficult to be some degree restricted, to follow some rules and regulations, but actually these are principles of freedom. Why? Because it's so free to not be tormented by the lusty desires. It's so free not to become agitated by any certain sight or any certain, you know, circumstance that we might find ourselves in. It's such a great relief. It's such an incredible freedom that we can exercise, that we can experience if we don't become agitated, if we have control over the senses. And that control can be only obtained if we engage those same senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is that freedom. That's incredible freedom that anyone can have. But people don't understand, thinking that if I in any way restrict my desires, which have been, of course, you know, agitated and stimulated by various kinds of propaganda, they identify with the same, and therefore they think this is no different than me, and I have to have it, and I have to do it. And they go through so much trouble obtaining any such kind of objects, and what to speak of the consequences, resultant consequences that follow after that. They're not aware, and even if they become aware, still, because unfortunately people don't have, as I said, any kind of other alternative, then they suffer immensely. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish the Varnashram system and Varnashram Dharma and create a society which will be serving as an alternative to this kind of modern materialistic civilization. Because unless people to some degree become aware of its futility, then there is no any kind of hope that they will look for something different. So at least devotees should be available. Devotees should be available. Devotees should have some kind of place, some kind of shelter. Ashram means shelter also, where people can find some relief and be protected from any kind of onslaughts of that kind of materialistic agitation. And to agitate is just the mode of passion. We know to some extent everybody has that propensity to agitate. In our dull and boring life, you know, agitation is something that is exciting. Even children agitate each other. Everybody agitates somebody to some extent. It's just a nature, of course. But when misapplied, then it can turn very disastrous. So, very often, either man or woman, they find great pleasure in agitating the opposite sex. It's just something that it's a fun. It's just something that it's, you know, very exciting. So agitating in any kind of way, you know. And then, of course, what are the consequences? We know what the consequences are. Not just for that person who becomes agitated, but for that person who agitates as well. Nowadays we wonder why there are so many issues and difficulties and so many rape cases and this and that. Because there is no culture. Simply as that. That's another result of such kind of provocative, you know, appearance. In America also, has been come very obvious and pretty clear. And there are some societies which try to somehow promote and support this idea of celibacy and chastity. At least they say to remain as such till the marriage. Because it is just so obvious that what happens if that is not the case? It just becomes an animalistic life. So ladies have been also advised to dress properly. They said, if you're not in business, don't advertise. It's kind of a interesting saying. So it's a very deep point behind. It's a very deep meaning behind. But because again, we have no higher meanings of life, we have no any higher understanding of purpose of our existence, and we just live being influenced under the modes of tamas and rajas, then such kind of understanding definitely becomes very far-fetched. Becomes very, almost practically, impractical. So therefore we have to cultivate that. And as I said, that cultivation starts as early as is possible, actually. Even if we don't have to have a bad experience so that we can adopt some good experience afterwards. At least if we can be saved. And I can say, if I would have been able to be saved, you know, from all that kind of experience, you know, I would be having much easier time in my personal Krishna conscious life. So many negative impressions, so many, you know, different kinds of circumstances that so much disturb the mind. So many difficulties that one has to go through, ultimately achieving nothing. Just misery. And that's what the mode of passion is. Some kind of agitation, nectar in the beginning, because of course there is nothing better. And then poison at the end. Just pure poison. Vishai, that's all. So if we can be saved in any way, at least by trying to emphasize more and more on the positive aspects of such kind of circumstances, of that kind of cultural practice, then when we apply it, then we can definitely see the results. And as I said, that's a challenge. Very often, even sometimes somebody who tries to become a devotee, it's still contaminated by those kind of lower modes of material nature. And therefore, good association is the most essential. Somewhat being and remaining in that good association, because that is the hope that will bring us later on to the higher modes and giving us the higher tastes. If we don't have that association, then it becomes very difficult. Very difficult to come to the level of the higher modes of material nature, where we can see things as they are. That's what mode of goodness is. So any kind of so-called promising, exciting circumstance, you know, it doesn't become such when we view it from the point of the mode of goodness. Something that is in the mode of passion just leads to utter dissatisfaction and frustration at the end. And that's what lust is. And it's never satisfied. It's never satiated. So as much as possible, one should remain just simply protected. And as much also away from any such kind of agitating circumstances. Because it destroys. It just destroys any knowledge that one may have, and it just destroys any kind of spiritual inclination. And this is what is the most disastrous. So here in the verse, Srila Prabhupada points out that even though sometimes somebody, even let's say as a devotee, or what to speak of, you know, being in the grihastha ashram, and later on, or being married, because there's no question of ashram, and then later on becoming a devotee and living with a person, whether, you know, husband or wife, who is not a devotee and who is some degree promiscuous, how to handle such kind of circumstance? That becomes a very difficult situation. We have a very exemplary example. A wonderful example of Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, who was very, very chaste lady. And in spite of her husband eating meat and not following certain principles, she still remained in his service. Even though she was also, like Srila Prabhupada,
a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Actually, because of that, mainly, she still remained chaste and served her husband, continued serving her husband. So that's like very, very high example of chastity of a lady who, in spite of even such circumstances, remained performing her duty. But in essence, Srila Prabhupada also points out here in the purport that somebody who doesn't follow the religious principles, who doesn't follow the instructions of the Shastra, then that kind of person essentially should not be associated with. So to some degree, there can be some kind of separation, not divorce, but some kind of separation. There's no question of divorce. That word doesn't, or even earlier at least, maybe now, it didn't even exist in the Hindi dictionary. But some kind of separation, then it's possible. But again, Srila Prabhupada points out there is no question of remarriage, because then that is a prostitution. And we know what happens in such kind of cases. Any parents who remarries, you know, what kind of experience children have later on. They have a pretty bad experience. Anyway, you don't have to go into details. Because then definitely there is no love. And if any parent is a such kind of parent, then it becomes very, very difficult. Very difficult in life. So there can be some kind of, if someone doesn't follow regulative principles, then within that kind of a marriage, then there can be some kind of separation. Maybe more kind of like a vanaprastha relationship. But there is no question of divorce and there is no question of remarrying. There's one very interesting story. Actually, there are so many. Shastra's just emphasizing so much on that kind of chastity. Because chastity is described as the real beauty of a woman. Celibacy also of a man, same thing. That's the real thing. Like when you see children, you know, white children are many times very, you know, like kind of, well, attractive in a way. You know, because they're innocent, because they're pure, they're not exhibiting any traces of lust yet. That's the point. So that's the real attractive feature of anyone. That's the real beauty of anyone. But as soon as that lust hits in, and then immediately mind becomes contaminated, intelligence becomes contaminated, then definitely, you know, then there is any kind of loss, then there is loss of that purity, then there is no any kind of beauty remaining. It just becomes very, very, very gross. Everything becomes very, very gross. Very unattractive, actually. So therefore, that kind of circumstance when somebody can maintain the celibacy, somebody can maintain the chastity, is absolutely glorified and exalted within the scriptures. Because, as Srila Prabhupada would say, 50% of the chances of going back home, back to Godhead, is won. If anyone can remain in such state. Of course, when Prabhupada would talk about grihastha ashram, then also grihastha brahmacharis, both man and woman. So that kind of circumstance is possible only when the higher taste is acquired. Higher taste of engaging the senses and centering everything upon Krishna. Engaging the senses in Krishna service. Otherwise it's not possible. Otherwise if the center becomes some kind of lusty object, then it becomes impossible, and then we become victims of such kind of lower modes and lower urges. So therefore that chastity is such an incredible power, or celibacy is also an incredible power that can help us in our devotional life. There are so many, as I said, there are so many very interesting stories that point out of exaltedness of a chaste ladies. Like we know Gautami. Gautami was the one. Anyway, there are so many different kinds of stories, but maybe we'll mention some few. Like the case of a Brahmin lady whose husband was a leper and very attracted to a prostitute. And still, in spite of that, that lady was so chaste that she tried to fulfill each and every request of her husband. And she would serve him. She would, you know, maintain his body in various ways and the disease that he had, taking care of it, and serve him in so many different ways. And still that person couldn't control his senses. He was so lusty after that one prostitute. So even to the extent that his wife noticed that he has become very disturbed, and then she asked him to reveal his mind. And when he did that, she said, she gave him all his blessings. And she started going to that prostitute and serving there, cleaning and doing so many things, basically for nothing. And that lady was very surprised that how come this Brahmin lady is coming and doing all this work without asking for any payment. What is the cause? So they decided to inquire from her. And when she revealed that this is the case and my husband has such and such desires, then prostitutes had, you know, enlightened experience. And she said to that lady that, yes, you send him this night. You send him, let him come. And I will make all the arrangements, whatever required. And that lady went back and instructed her husband, and the husband came that night. And what the prostitute did, she served him in three different pots. She served him the same meal, very delicious meal. One was in golden, one in silver, and one just on the patal. And then she requested that Brahmin, that first you sit down and have a nice meal. And he did that. And she asked him which one would he choose, golden, from the silver, or for just the patal. So he said, I'm Brahmin and I'm just very simple and satisfied with anything. So I'll just honor, you know, prasadam from the patra, from just the patal. And when he did that, so she asked him, how did you feel? So he said, it was very tasty, it was very delicious. So then the prostitute said, yes, your wife is like this. Because you ate from that sattvic plate. So your wife by nature is also very sattvic. She's very chaste and she's very pure. Whereas this golden and silver is just like rajas and tamas. And that prostitute compared herself with that kind of rajasic and tamasic nature. So then the Brahmin also understood that actually there's no difference actually in one sense from the meal. There's no difference in terms of association one way or whatever his desires were. But there is a big difference in terms of the quality and relationship that he can experience, especially with somebody who is in the higher modes. So this kind of example served as a inspiration to follow in such kind of footsteps of personalities who have been practicing the Vedic culture and who had achieved ultimately the final result of developing relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is only possible if that kind of society is structured in a way that all the principles have been followed, and that the protection of the woman is also guaranteed.
Adharma bibravat Krishna pradushanti kulastriya strishu dushta suvarshnaya jayate varna shankara.
We know if that kind of protection is not there, and as I said in the beginning, if everyone is led to do whatever they want to do and whichever they want to do, and just everything becomes so freely available, then there is a definitely degradation and there is no question of God consciousness. So in order to be God conscious, there has to be some restriction. Again, regulative principles of freedom. If we really want to be free, if we really want to be free from any kind of agitation, any kind of trouble that we experience within the mind, any kind of contaminations, we have to place ourselves within the circumstance that will actually enable us to experience that higher taste and to advance on the path of spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
We hear of many ideal conditions prevailing in the past, which are highly difficult to attain now. Moreover, there is a law of karma operating always. So even if good virtues, wife or husband is, one good virtuous wife or husband is to be obtained, the law of karma comes into operation. If a husband is not supported by the karma to have a best wife, then all the teachings and guidance and everything is of no use. Like in one case, Shastra says that a wife should be like a mantri in the living room, Ramba in the bedroom, and Annapurna in the kitchen. But such a wife is hardly available now. And moreover, if one wants to have such a wife, he must have a corresponding karma. So all the teachings that we are listening is of theoretical value only. Practically, it is not obtainable now. Have you followed?
I'm trying.
So teachings are very golden, very nice.
Yeah.
But practically, it is not obtainable. Because there is a law of karma. One more example, like a son has to respect parents and serve parents. But if the parents have such a karma that they are not able...
In the purport itself, Srila Prabhupada's criterion for applying those cultural values is whether somebody practices religious principles or not. That's the only criterion. So if somebody is not qualified, then Prabhupada doesn't advise to remain in such circumstance. He said, then, I can read it again. Okay. If a chaste woman unfortunately marries a husband who is fallen, she should live separately from him. Similarly, a husband can separate himself from a woman who is not chaste according to the description of Shastra.
My question is different. Every son is supposed to respect and serve parents. But
same
if the
principle.
But if the
That's
parents...
What I said. It's the same principle.
If the parents have no such karma to receive the service
so
from
then
son...
If that's not the case, then you don't have to serve. Then you serve Krishna. Then you don't have any other duties in life. If you serve Krishna, if you serve the root, you don't have to serve anybody else. You don't have any other duties. You don't have any other obligations towards anyone. There's a verse in the 5th chapter of 11th canto which points out that unless, when you serve Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of your duties, all of your responsibilities are fulfilled just by directly serving Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't have to feel, you don't have to be responsible in any way towards anybody else.
Okay.
If that's not the case, then definitely one feels responsible and one will definitely be subject to different kinds of karmic reactions. So some kind of duty and responsibility has to be there. So if we directly engage ourselves in the service of Lord Krishna, then all the other duties and responsibilities are fulfilled. So that's the criterion, that's what I'm saying, that's the whole point. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.